again, giving me a little more than a taste. Go get dressed. I didn't ask where we were going or what he had planned. I hadn't asked any details about this trip, because for the first time in several weeks, I craved the surprise, the unknown, the feelings that came with each. I was no longer numb. My body was finally aware of what was happening, even when Derek wasn't inside it. With that came tears when I thought of Anna, and the fear of a life without her. It was an ache so deep it hurt to breathe. I didn't want to feel that this week. I wanted to feel Napa. I wanted to feel the wine. More than anything, I wanted to feel Derek. He was giving me that. Derek sat across from me on the balcony, a small square table separating us. This restaurant had once been a house, lived in by the owner of the winery. It still very much felt like a home, and the waitstaff treated us like family. A plate of seafood sat in front of me, with risotto and grilled vegetables. I was on my second glass of the most delicious Pinot Noir. But it wasn't the food or the wine that was making this evening so amazing. Just one story below us was the start of the vineyard, the grapes traveling over each of the rolling hills, the sun setting beautifully over them. The sky was deep magenta with strips of gold and navy where it hit the top of the Vaca Mountains. And then, there was the incredibly sexy man whose leg brushed mine under the table, whose eyes were making me melt with lust, whose beard was making me want to lean across the table so I could feel his rough whiskers on my lips. I didn't know such a perfect moment could exist. We had spent our second day in Napa touring wineries, indulging in tastings, purchasing bottles from the boutique wineries that weren't available in retail stores. I had tasted freshly baked bread from the palm of Derek's hand, chocolates, raspberries, and cheeses that brought out the flavors of the wine that they had been paired with. We had then gone back to the cottage to get ready for dinner. We explored the outside shower on our patio, Derek once again filling every part of my body under the hot stream. We hadn't hurried to get dressed. We never even checked the time to make sure we weren't running late. Time no longer seemed to matter. It was a welcomed change of pace, coming from a profession that revolved around appointments and schedules. A pace I needed a break from. Derek knew that. It was why he'd brought me here. He gave me what I needed. He gave me everything I needed. My eyes moved away from the mountains and landed on his flannel. It was blue and white plaid, and it matched his jeans, keeping him warm from the cooler night air. His eyes penetrated mine as he chewed.
"What are you thinking about?"
he asked. My lips smiled. My face flushed. I'd been caught, and now I had to share. "You?"
"I know. But what about me?"
"You took me here when I needed it the most."
"We both needed it."
Before I'd even gone inside the cottage, I'd had the nerve to doubt him. And once again he'd proven how well he knew me. Even though I loved our accommodations, the wineries and this restaurant, none of it really mattered. What mattered was that I was with him, that I had escaped my thoughts because of him, that I'd finally given him my body, my mind, my heart. He knew it, and I was sure he could feel it, but I had never spoken it. "This," I said, my eyes roaming his face, "is perfect. Like your house in Portsmouth. Perfect."
"I like hearing you say that."
The candlelight from the table was dancing across his face. It deepened the darkness in his eyes, the thickness of his lips. So gorgeous. And it was all mine. And now I had to tell him I was his. "I love you." He set his fork down and pushed his chair back.
"Come here."
His voice was deep and demanding, not at all the tone or response I was expecting. "Derek,
come here."
I moved around to his side of the table. His arms immediately snaked around my body and pulled me onto his lap. He held my cheeks, so I faced him.
"Say it again."
My muscles relaxed as I took in his eyes. I love you. The words were so easy to say, so much easier than they'd ever been. Such simplicity, maybe. But it was exactly how I felt. In love with him. In love with us. His thumb brushed across my bottom lip, his eyes staying on mine. I could feel the intensity in his body, in his touch. Behind all that power was an emotion. The same emotion that was inside me, in equal measure.
I love you too.
I didn't get the chance to say anything else before his lips were on mine, his hands holding my face so I couldn't move, my body falling into his so there was no longer any distance between us. I was breathing him in. Breathing in his love.
11. Derek. Frankie held my right hand. The other was full of bags from all the shopping we'd done that morning. In order to grab the ringing phone from the front pocket of my flannel, I had to release her. So I pulled her over to the side of the busy sidewalk, away from the strollers and pedestrians and the thick crowds who walked these sloped San Francisco streets. Will's name was on the screen. I'd been checking in with him daily, by text. I knew he'd only call if it were an emergency. "Answer it," she said, looking down at the screen. "When you get off the phone with him, meet me in there." She pointed at a store across the street. "I just need a minute." She kissed my cheek and whispered, "Take your time." I brought the phone up to my ear as I watched her walk away. That fucking ass. It didn't matter how many times my cock was inside it. I'd never get tired of staring at it. "What's up?" "Bad news, Derek." The city was even louder than Boston. The constant honking and shouting made it hard to hear him. I slipped into a shop, hoping to drown out some of the noise. "What happened?" "There was an accident." I rested my hand on the wall in front of me, squeezing my fingers over the molding around the door. "Two of the guys were on some scaffolding. They fell two stories." "That's impossible." "I know, and I agree, but it happened, and between the two, they have several broken bones, a collapsed lung, and serious concussions. It could have been so much worse. It's a miracle it wasn't." Fucking hell. The air finally returned to my lungs as I realized they were both still alive, and that their injuries were serious but not fatal. "How the hell did this happen?" "I only got a quick glance at it before the police arrived, but it looks like some of the brackets might have been loose." "That's impossible." "It's all wrapped up now in yellow tape so the insurance company and city inspector can take a look at it. I checked the logs, though. Both the morning and evening security checks took place. It had to happen sometime in between." If the wall in front of me hadn't been glass, I would have put my hand through it. Block development wasn't without accidents. They happened, which was unfortunately part of the business I was in. But they never happened because of the equipment. We took extra safety precautions. We checked seals and brackets and bolts every day, and then we double-checked them. The equipment hadn't malfunctioned. The equipment had been tampered with. And there was only one motherfucker who would dare touch my equipment. "The guys are at the hospital, then?" I confirmed. "Their families have all been notified and are with them, too?" "They're all there. I gave the hospital all the insurance information." "I'll pay for whatever the families have to cover. I don't care how much it costs. I want my guys comfortable and fully healed." "That's what I figured." I turned my head to make sure there wasn't anyone in close range. "Will, this wasn't an accident." "Nope, not at all. That's why I've contacted a friend. He's a private investigator. He'll be by later tonight to look over the equipment, pull the video feed, take fingerprints, and interview each of the security guards. If something isn't right, he'll find it." "Good. Let's hire a second PI, too. Two opinions can't hurt, and the more information, the better." I didn't know of any, but I knew who would. "I'll ask Hayden who she uses as soon as we hang up." "Don't worry about it. I'll give her a call and get it all set up. I'm going to call Bree, too. From the sounds of it, that girl has connections everywhere." "I like that idea." I checked the time. It wasn't even noon yet. There had to be plenty of flights still heading to the East Coast today. I'm going to try to get home by tonight.
You don't have to do that. You know I've got it all handled. Just try to enjoy the rest of your trip. I'll call with hourly updates.
You know me better than that, Will. There were few people who did, but he was one of them. Therefore, he knew how I felt about these men, that they were my responsibility, part of the family I had created. They'd been hurt indirectly because of me. I belonged with them, not in Napa.
I'll see you soon, buddy, he said.
I hung up and went across the street, finding Frankie in one of the aisles. I wrapped my free arm around her navel and buried my face in her neck. Her smell was the only thing that was keeping me from shaking with rage. She put the shirt back that she was holding and covered my hand with hers.
Everything okay?
When I didn't answer, she turned around and searched my eyes.
What happened?
She continued to look at me, her expression as worried as what I was feeling inside.
Derek, talk to me.
There was an accident. Her eyes widened, her arms crossing over her chest.
Oh, God, no. At Timber Towers?
I filled her in on everything I knew. Before I had even finished telling her about the PI Will had hired, she'd pulled out her phone and was tapping the screen.
Who are you calling?
Bree, she said, not answering me. We need to get back to Boston today. The soonest flight you can find with the fewest layovers. I gripped her waist and held her tightly. She was fucking amazing.
We're fine, don't worry. But there was an accident at Timber Towers and Derek needs to get home to be with his guys.
I brushed my hand across her cheek.
Okay, we'll head to the airport now.
She put her phone back in her purse.
She's going to get us on the first available flight. If anyone can get us home, it's Bree. And if she can only get one ticket, then you'll go and I'll meet you at the hospital whenever I can get there.
I pulled her closer to me, both hands now cupping her face. You are the most incredible woman I have ever met. And you're all mine.
Derek, you brought me back to life after I lost Anna. I wouldn't have survived had you not been there. There isn't anything I won't do for you.
I brushed my lips over hers. I fucking love you.
12. Frankie. The last time I'd been at this hospital was a little less than 3 weeks ago. Anna's tender, fragile fingers had rested in my hand. I'd listened to her voice for the last time, kissed her soft cheek. There were so many hazy details, but I would have done anything to have those moments with her again. Standing in the hallway with Will, waiting while Derek spoke to one of the families, I realized that things were no longer hazy. In fact, they were clear. Too clear, and much too painful for the man I loved.
Derek told me how you reacted when he shared the news with you.
I turned my head, startled by the gravity of Will's voice. We hadn't had much time to really get to know each other, but Derek cared about Will in the same way I cared for Bree. I needed more time with him. I hoped I would get that soon. I did what anyone else would do, I told him. He shook his head.
No, you didn't. You have your own pain to deal with. But you put it aside, and you put him first. Not everyone would do that. Most would put themselves first.
Like the both of you, I work with a big team. I get the importance of being there for your team members. His reaction told me we were talking about two entirely different things.
Frankie, you're the best thing that's ever happened to him. He may not always do the right thing when it comes to you, but he has every intention of trying.
He glanced down the hallway and back at me.
I don't say any of that lightly. I've never said it before, actually, and I've known Derek a very long time. If anyone ever asked, I would deny every word.
Guy code. It was the same as girl code. Bree would have done the same thing had roles been reversed. I never heard a thing, I told him. His grin was soft, unassuming.
I knew I was going to like you.
I laughed, pushing myself a little higher on the wall I was leaning against. Bree told me she's helping out a little with this. I didn't want to say too much. The hospital was too public to have an open conversation about what had happened.
She's been great. One of her guys is going over tonight.
The text Bree had sent when we'd landed in Boston had said something similar. Since losing her boyfriend, which had been around the same time I'd lost my baby, she'd established deep connections within the city. I believed it was something for her to focus on, helping her move past the grieving. She never showed me this other life she had, but I knew it was dark, and part of me knew it was even sinister. But in moments like this, I really appreciated it. "I'm worried about what he's going to find out, and how that's going to affect Derek," I said. "If anything happens to him..." Will's hand rested on my shoulder.
"Nothing is going to happen to him."
That was something Derek would have said, in the same tone, with the same certainty in his eyes. How could they be so sure? Randy was obviously much more dangerous than they thought. So really, weren't we all at risk? Will reached into his back pocket and pulled out his phone as it rang.
"It's Bree's guy. I've got to take this. I'll be right back."
"No problem," I said, watching him walk down the hall. I didn't know where I wanted to go, but I couldn't just stand there and do nothing. So I walked. I hadn't been to this hospital enough to know my way around, and yet my feet began to lead me. I took an elevator to the 6th floor, stopping just outside the door to the ICU. Small details started coming back to me. The bleach and alcohol. The coldness. The bright lights and the floor Derek and I had sat on. I looked to my right, believing that was the exact spot where he had hugged me, where I had cried until I had no voice left.
"Being here must be bringing back a lot of memories," a man said.
He was close, too close. It caused every hair on my body to rise off my skin. I slowly turned toward the sound of his voice. It only took a second before I recognized him. The first time I had seen him was on the balcony at the gala. More recently, I'd seen his picture on the website for White Construction. Randy White. We'd been in such a rush, Derek hadn't called my security guard when we'd returned to Boston. I hadn't thought too much about it at the time, but God, didn't I wish now that he had? Fear was gnawing at me. I knew how dangerous he was, how many people he had hurt. The only reason I was in this hospital was because of the men he'd injured with the so-called accident. It didn't matter that we were in a public place. If I weren't careful, I could become one of his victims, too. "Randy." It came out as a whisper because the way he was staring at me made my skin crawl.
"Why don't you call me Uncle, since we're practically family now?"
"What do you want?"
"You're not going to thank your uncle for the flowers he sent?"
I couldn't stop the shiver that ran through me. I'd play nice, even if I didn't mean it. "Thank you for those." Very thoughtful gesture. "Now what do you want?"
"The same thing I've wanted all along."
He slid a finger over the outside of my arm. I slapped it away.
"I want a fucking answer."
"You're not going to get one from me." This time he clamped his fingers around my throat, his hand holding me so tightly I felt my skin bruise. "I don't..." I stopped, choking on the little air I was taking in. "No, anything..." If he squeezed any tighter, I wouldn't be able to breathe at all. The thought made me panic, and so did knowing I couldn't give up Derek's truth.
"Are you stupid, girl? Protecting his secrets will only get you killed, so I'm going to give you a choice. You can either get your fucking hands off her, or I'll kill you right in this goddamn hallway."
Derek. I wasn't sure if I had wheezed his name out loud or only in my thoughts, but I was incredibly relieved to see him, and equally worried about what he was going to do. The look on his face, the intensity in his eyes told me he was going to follow through, even as Randy loosened his grip on my throat.
"Son, I've been expecting you."
Derek pulled me away from him, and I finally took a deep breath. His hands cupped my cheeks.
"Are you okay?"
Once I nodded, he moved me behind him until I was fully blocked by his body.
"You've got some serious balls showing up here and putting your fucking hands on her." "I was already here. You're the one who showed up."
I expected Derek to flip out, to accuse him of tampering with the scaffolding. I didn't expect his voice to stay as calm as it was, with a fierce edge.
Then I think it's time for you to leave. I'm giving you one last chance. I wouldn't want you to find out what happens when there are no chances left. I don't respond well to threats. They're not threats. We both know that, son. Get the fuck out of here.
It sounded like his teeth were gritted together, using every bit of restraint he had to not kill him. When Randy took a step, Derek shifted his weight, blocking me even further, until Randy disappeared down the hall. Then he turned and pulled me into his arms.
Jesus fucking Christ, he sighed, his hands running all over my body, as though he were checking for scrapes and bumps.
Then he placed them on my neck, taking his time to scan both sides.
Does it hurt?
No, Derek, I'm fine. How did you know where I was?
I just had a feeling you were up here.
His hands moved to my waist.
Will told me he left you in the hallway to take a call, and when he returned, you were gone.
I needed to come up here, I guess.
I get it.
There was tiredness and pain in his eyes, but a gentleness in his stance.
I don't like that you wandered off by yourself, and I want to fucking kill him for touching you, but I understand why you came up here. From this moment forward, your security guard is not going to leave your side.
I figured. After what had happened, I was more than happy to comply with that demand. I wrapped my arms around his neck. Are the guys okay?
They'll be okay. They're pretty banged up, but they're getting good care and their pain is being managed.
It's a relief to hear that.
Not completely. Hayden called before I came up here. She wants me to come in and give my statement. They want to get all the victims on record.
Now?
First thing in the morning.
But you're not a victim. He shook his head.
No, but I'm the only witness. I'm the last one to be interviewed before they process all the paperwork. Frankie, I want you to come with me.
I ran my hands over his beard. Are you sure? That meant I would be going to Hayden's office, listening to the cause of his father's death at the very same time she was. This would be the first time I was in her presence since I'd told her to fuck off. I hoped she could put our differences aside for Derek. I knew I could for a situation like that.
Yes, I'm sure.
Does the timing of this have anything to do with what happened at Timber Towers?
I don't know.
He looked toward the door of the ICU and back at me.
Whatever the investigators find out, we'll pass on to her firm. But for now, they need to hear my testimony.
Does that mean he'll be arrested soon? I held my breath as I waited for his answer. I didn't know how quickly these investigators would work, but I wanted Randy to be taken into custody before Derek got back the results of what happened at his building, and before he really processed what Randy had done to me.
I think so.
I leaned against his chest, and his arms folded around me. The warmth of his body was the exact opposite of what this place represented, what I felt while I was in there, Randy's lingering touch on my skin. I held on to him as if he was the only thing that was keeping me standing. He likely was. We stayed just like that, unwilling to move, just holding each other again as we had once before in this same space. I didn't know how much time had passed. I didn't care. This was where I wanted to be. In Derek's arms.
13. Derek. I'm sorry for the short notice, Hayden said when she met us in the lobby of her building. I wish I could have given you more time to prep, but time isn't something we have right now. I don't need to prep. I took her in my arms and hugged her. The story is the story. Having more time won't change the details. I brought Frankie into the circle and held her hand, and Hayden's. This wasn't how I wanted to bring the two of them together. Frankie was here for me, but I knew being around Hayden wasn't easy for her. I won't insult either of you by introducing you. I glanced back and forth between them, waiting for one of them to speak. Hi, Hayden. Frankie's voice was light, not anxious. She seemed more comfortable than she had in the car. My sister looked relieved. She clearly wasn't expecting Frankie to even speak to her.
Frankie, Hayden said, thanks for being here. I know it means a lot to my brother. It means a lot to me, too.
We followed Hayden to the elevator.
We're going to be in one of the conference rooms. There are about 10 people in there. I'll introduce you to everyone, and then you can...
Don't bother. I don't want to know their names or who they are. I just need to get this all out. We can focus on who's who later.
Gotcha.
She pushed the button for the top floor. To bring you up to speed, we've signed 13 victims. All of their statements have been recorded and processed. Their financial records have been analyzed. We're also looking into Randy's financials.
How's it looking?
I can't reveal much, but I can tell you we're making lots of progress.
Hayden, cut the shit. You gotta give me something here.
She leaned in, the professionalism leaving her face.
He's fucked, brother.
I smiled. It was the only bit of good news I'd heard all day.
How are the guys?
They're doing better. We'd gotten only a few hours of sleep and had gone back to the hospital early this morning. Both men were awake and much more alert than the night before.
Hayden, this wasn't supposed to happen.
Not to my men.
We're going to make sure it won't ever happen again.
Should I include the accident at Timber Towers at the end of my statement?
No.
Hayden glanced at the numbers that were lighting up over the door. Not a word of it. Unless you have evidence that you haven't told me about.
I pulled at the collar of my flannel. It felt tighter than normal, and I was sweating underneath it.
I should know more in a few days.
If we need to make it part of the case, we will, and he'll be charged separately.
Hayden led us out of the elevator and down a long hallway. At the end was a single closed door.
Any last-minute questions? She asked.
No. I squeezed Frankie's hand. I'm ready.
In the middle of the room was a large oak table. A flat screen hung on the far wall. Framed abstract scenery hung on the others.
Had we been there for a different reason, I would have checked out the view of this part of the city from the long paneled windows. But nothing about today was enjoyable. Not what I'd seen at the hospital before I'd come here, not the testimony that was about to come out of my mouth.
Hayden pulled out a chair for me to sit in, placing me in the center of the oval.
Frankie sat on one side of me, Hayden on the other. I tried not to stare at anything too long, especially the faces that were looking back at me.
Derek? My sister said and pointed at the head of the table.
This is Fred Lester. Fred is a partner here at the firm and the lead attorney assigned to this case. He's going to be conducting this interview. All answers should be directed to him.
Mr. Block? Fred said, my eyes slowly shifting to meet his. As Hayden pointed out, I will be conducting this deposition. Your answers will be recorded. Please let me know if you have any objection to that.
He knew I didn't have a problem with it. To be recorded was the reason I was here. When I didn't respond, he continued.
Then let's get started. Please state your legal name.
Derek Block.
Is Derek Block your birth name?
Frankie's hand touched my leg underneath the table. She'd pushed down, trying to keep it steady. I hadn't realized I'd been bouncing it. When it stilled, she kept her hand there.
No, that would be Derek White.
Can you state your relationship to Peter White?
Peter White was my father.
Can you state your relationship to Randy White?
He's my uncle and my father's only brother.
Can you describe the events that took place on...
He kept talking, but I stopped listening. I never discussed what happened at Randy's job site. Never. I tried not to even think about it. I knew one day I'd have to give an account of those details. I just hadn't thought about what that day would look like. And now that I was here and there were two more victims in the hospital, I wanted to pound my fists against the table and call Randy exactly what he was. A goddamn murderer. These formalities weren't necessary.
We were working on a 6-story mid-rise in the outskirts of Portsmouth, I said. The project had been delayed several times. It had been blamed on wrong materials, but we all knew it was because Randy didn't have the cash to pay the distributors. When the materials finally arrived, we were under a strict deadline to finish. On the day in question, my father was standing on a section of scaffolding on the east side of the building. It was snowing. The scaffolding had been up overnight and there was a layer of ice on the bottom. We'd tried to salt it as much as we could, but we were running out of that, too. I remembered how goddamn cold it was that day. Everyone was moving so slowly. But with my help, there was a small chance we could make the deadline. Knowing that was enough to make me want to be there. The guys were on the scaffolding putting on the trusses. While I was walking past it to grab the nail gun, I noticed the screw jack and the base plates were starting to come loose and buckling under the added weight. My father was holding the truss over his head. A second team was on the other side bolting down their end. I called up to him, but it was so loud no one could hear me. Dad's feet weren't steady. His knees were shaking. He had to know something was wrong, yet he didn't move, continuing to hold that truss. I looked for the megaphone and couldn't find it. I tried to find some extra hands to help me screw in the jacks, but there was no one around besides the men on the scaffolding. Then I noticed the end frame began to wobble. The frame coupler was giving out too, and the vertical bracing was getting ready to fall. The entire structure was caving from the weight. My father turned toward me, the truss still in his hands. He knew what was happening. I'd seen it in his eyes. The fear, the panic, the knowledge of what he needed to do in that moment. What we'd all been trained to do. He dropped the truss and reached for the lifeline, but he was too late. The platform tilted forward and his feet slid off. There was nothing else for him to grab onto. Nothing. I took a breath. Silence, that's all I heard. When I looked at Frankie, her eyes were wide and she was holding back tears, her hand still on my leg. I didn't dare look at Hayden, so I peered down at the wooden table. When you're ready, please describe the scene that followed. That asshole wanted me to tell him what it looked like to watch my father fall through the air and tumble to his death on the snow-covered ground. Hell no. I wouldn't do that. It wouldn't help the case, and it wouldn't put Randy away any faster. He fell. I finally looked up, staring at the end of the table. His hard hat wasn't enough protection. He was too high up. I couldn't look away when he hit the ground. I tried to. Frankie squeezed my hand. I understand these questions are painful, but any details you can provide will be extremely helpful. I ran my hands over my face, closing my eyes briefly. I saw it. I saw the whole fucking thing. There was no lapse in my memory, no fog, no snow in my eyes as I tried to recount what had happened. He landed face down, I finally said. I checked his pulse and screamed his name. Nothing. No movement. Blood leaked from his nose and his mouth onto the snow. There was a pool of it, surrounded my feet. But I didn't move. At some point the ambulance and police showed up. I don't know who called them. It wasn't me. His eyes were open. The whole time his eyes were open. I didn't tell him that. I couldn't bring myself to say it out loud. I have a copy of the police report, he said. A witness gave their statement saying the scaffolding hadn't been cleared for safety that morning, therefore your father shouldn't have been on it. The witness also said your father was the only member of the crew to use the scaffolding that day. According to the investigation, there was no foul play and no tampering with the evidence was suspected or found. And the trusses disappeared from the job site, I know. I've read the report, and I read where the guys stated they were working on framing the interior ground level that day, which is bullshit. That motherfucker had the evidence removed to save his own ass. Why didn't the police check the top of the building to see if there were bolt marks where the truss had been secured? There was silence as he skimmed the papers in front of him. Had they checked it, they would have seen the holes. and the only way the holes could have gotten there was if someone, like my father, was on the opposite side holding up the other end of the truss. I knew my voice was too loud, but I didn't give a fuck. It's not a one-man job. He wouldn't be able to do it by himself. No one else saw what happened. It was just me and my father on the east side of the building. The witness is a fake, someone paid off by Randy. I was the only witness, so why didn't anyone believe me when I gave my statement back then? He glanced down, flipping through several pages. I wasn't looking for him to give me an answer. I knew he didn't have one. He wasn't there. And my statement wouldn't be found in those papers because it had never been recorded. Another mysterious omission amid all this treachery. But to everyone at the table, the answer should have been quite obvious. Although the equipment hadn't been cleared for safety, when it was later inspected, it appeared to have all the necessary components to meet code. Would you agree with that statement? Agree? I laughed. It was that or yell, and the laughing felt better. I don't agree at all. What makes you believe it wasn't? Randy's scaffolding only had top rails, no mid-rail or tow board, and no fall arrest system. There was a vertical lifeline, but they were suspended lines from the scaffolding, not independent lines. Plus, the anchorage points were weak and couldn't support the amount of weight they needed to. You were so young at the time. How can you be positive it was missing those components? How could I be positive? Now he was just insulting me. Fred, I'm in the construction business, and I have been since I was able to walk. I can construct scaffolding like you can screw in a goddamn light bulb. I'm able to spot a missing component in seconds. I could then, too. What I'm telling you isn't a minor detail that I remember. It's fact. Fred glanced at the other suits around the table. I kept my eyes on him. I heard writing, pages turning. What I didn't hear was anyone else questioning my facts. "Let's switch gears a little," he said. "Was it typical for your father to help the crew? He was the foreman, so I assume most of his job consisted of managing?" "The weather conditions were less than ideal. They were too close to the power lines, and the scaffolding was beyond the maximum weight capacity. My father knew that. It's why he was up there in place of one of his men. He didn't want to order them to do something that he wouldn't do himself. The truth is, no one should have been on that equipment." "To your knowledge, was Randy made aware that the equipment wasn't safe?" My hands clenched underneath the table as I thought about his question. That motherfucker had been made aware. That conversation was the reason I called him a goddamn murderer. At the beginning of the project, my father had placed an order for tow boards. They were on back order due to the weather, but they finally arrived cash on delivery. My father hadn't realized they would come that way. He thought they would be billed to Randy's account. Without a check to pay for them, they were returned. Randy found out and came to the job site one Saturday morning screaming about unnecessary costs. My father told him how unsafe things were. Randy didn't give a shit. It was all about the bottom line to him. Always had been. There was yelling back and forth on both sides, and eventually my father caved. He wasn't the boss. He didn't have much of a choice. How about, let me make something clear. I looked at Frankie. She hadn't made a sound the entire time we'd been in this conference room, but the emotion in her eyes had deepened. She'd almost been a victim, too. What Randy had done to her affected me as much as what he'd done to my father. As an owner of a construction company, it's up to me to make sure my men are safe. It's up to me to make sure they're trained on safety protocols, to provide equipment that maintains proper levels, to spend the time and resources to make sure all the rules are followed. Safety comes first on all job sites. A foreman and crew can only work with the materials they're given. That's what my father did. He made the best of a shitty situation. And Randy? My teeth ground together. Randy knew the conditions, he knew the risks, and he was warned about both. Refusing to pay for proper equipment is negligence, and that negligence got my father killed. That's not an accident. That's murder. Fred looked down at his notepad, crossing off items I must have already answered. He then glanced around the table. Does anyone have any other questions for Mr. Block?
The silence pressed on for several seconds.
Well then, it appears you've answered all of our preliminary questions. We thank you for coming in, Mr. Block. We'll be in touch shortly.
I stood and took Frankie's hand again, and we followed Hayden down the hallway. I felt my feet moving, smelled Hayden's perfume as she walked ahead of me, but I didn't take a breath until we stepped inside the elevator.
Jesus, Hayden said once the door closed. I've sat in on hundreds of witness testimonies, and none of them was as harrowing as that.
She wrapped her shaking hands around her stomach. She'd heard pieces, but never the full account. I'd tried to protect her from it. My mother, too.
I wish you hadn't been in that room, I told her.
Her eyes began to fill.
The part about how he landed and... Oh, God!
I was glad I hadn't told her the rest. Come here. I opened my arms and pulled her into a hug, taking her weight before she collapsed. I looked at Frankie.
Stop the elevator.
Frankie pulled the red knob and the elevator halted immediately. The last thing Hayden needed was for her colleagues to see her falling apart like this. She needed privacy. Hell, we both needed it. And a drink, which I wouldn't be getting because we needed to go straight back to the hospital. A set of arms wrapped around Hayden and me. It was Frankie, standing to the side of us. Hayden looked up as she felt Frankie's presence and I watched the emotion wash over her face. Both their faces. Hayden's arm slid out and gripped Frankie. We were in a circle, all three of us holding each other up. Hayden tucked her head into my chest as my eyes connected with Frankie's. Her smile showed the depth of her compassion. It was the comfort Hayden needed at the moment.
I love you, Frankie mouthed. I realized then how much I needed that too. And fuck, didn't I love her more?
14. Frankie. Derek! I shouted, sitting up in bed and throwing the covers off me. Get in here! Hurry! The sound of him climbing out of bed had woken me. I could hear him in the kitchen now cooking breakfast. I hadn't been able to go back to sleep, so I'd turned on the TV. Derek! I shouted again. I didn't want him to miss even a second of what was showing on the screen.
Are you okay, baby?
There was a dish towel draped over his shoulder. His electric blue eyes were worried and intense. God, he was so sexy, even in the morning. I pointed at the TV. Look! The newscaster was giving a brief explanation of what Randy was being accused of, and the crimes that had led up to his arrest. The screen was split, showing her face and the live feed of him being escorted into the police station. Sources say there are several city employees in the permitting department, building codes, and safety department who are being accused of taking cash payments from White Construction, the reporter said. Sources are also confirming White had several offshore accounts that are currently being seized. We will keep you informed as more information surfaces. As soon as it went back to a full screen, his phone started ringing. I didn't have to see his caller ID to know who it was. It looks like we both knew, as Derek immediately put it on speakerphone. Did you see the news? Hayden asked. Her voice was much livelier than it had been in the elevator after Derek's testimony a few weeks ago. That had been a rough moment for both of them.
We just saw it, he said. The motherfucker looks better in handcuffs than I thought he would. Did you know it was going to happen this morning?
I had a hunch, Hayden said.
In lawyer terms, that means you were informed.
We did it, brother! I didn't ignore the fact that she had changed the subject. It infuriated Derek that there were certain things Hayden wouldn't tell him that had to do with the case. I was sure this was one of them. Or maybe not, considering his smile was wider than I'd ever seen it. Brighter, too.
You did it.
Stop it, we both did it! I didn't care who did it. I was just glad Randy was behind bars for the moment. Derek had received the findings from both investigators just days after the accident, and both confirmed that his equipment had been tampered with. Through video feed, they were able to determine it was a construction worker who had done it. Enough of his face had showed in the feed to know it wasn't one of Derek's guys. But the police were trying to identify who the man was. We knew it would lead back to someone Randy had hired. We just didn't know how long it would take to prove that. In the meantime, combined with what Randy had done to me, Derek was practically exploding with anger. It took everything I had to stop him from going to Randy's. I knew if he got his hands on his uncle, he wouldn't let go until he stopped breathing.
"So what now, Hayden?" Derek asked.
"We have to collect more evidence, and I anticipate a long trial, but from everything I've seen so far, I'm pretty confident in saying he'll be sentenced."
"Give me a number."
"Derek."
"A number, Hayden."
"I can't be certain. It depends on how many crimes he's charged with. This is just a guess, but I would say 10 years minimum." Derek walked to the end of the bed and sat down. I crawled over to him and straddled his waist. My arms went around his neck, and it was then that I realized I was naked. He had realized it long before, his eyes frozen on my nipples as I'd moved over to him.
"I want him to get more," he said. "He deserves to get so much more."
"He very well may get it. Let's worry about that when we go to trial. Tonight, let's celebrate. How about dinner?"
"You got it."
With his hand, he was circling my hardened nipples, slowly rubbing his thumb over the tips of each. I had to stop myself from moaning. "I really hope Frankie will consider joining us. I would love for her to be there." Derek looked up from my breasts. There was desire in his eyes. Lust. There was a little hope in there, too. "I'll be there, Hayden," I said. He smiled, licking his bottom lip. "I didn't realize I was on speakerphone. I'm so happy to hear that, Frankie. I'll see you both tonight." Derek said goodbye and tossed the phone on the other side of the bed. "You got what you wanted," I said as my hands brushed through his beard. "Randy's going to be locked up for at least 10 years. Plus whatever time he'll get for tampering with the equipment at Timber Towers, once the police prove it's him. You're quite the hero, Mr. Block."
"I haven't gotten everything I want."
I pulled his bottom lip into my mouth and gently bit down.
"Oh, no?"
He shook his head, his hands sliding to my sides. "I can fix that." I climbed off his lap and went into the closet. He now had a small section in there where he kept his flannels and jeans, boots, and workout clothes. I took one of his flannels off the hanger, stretched it the long way, and twisted it as I walked back to the bed. "Tie me up," I demanded. A different smile now crossed his face as he stood and took the shirt out of my hands. He circled the fabric around my wrists and tied it through the headboard, knotting the end.
"So submissive," he whispered. "And so fucking sexy.
And all yours." I could see his erection through his mesh shorts before he dropped them and his t-shirt to the floor. My eyes landed on his tattoo, the way it looped over his thick, corded muscles. The name White was probably being blasted across every news channel today. It would run in every major newspaper in New England by tomorrow morning. That didn't matter to me. Derek had long ago disassociated himself to the name Randy had built and ultimately destroyed. The only thing they had in common now was blood. Derek's mouth dove into my pussy, his long tongue lapping between my folds as his hands touched my breasts. The combination of both sensations caused me to moan instantly. He knew my body so well. He knew where I wanted the tip of his tongue and when I wanted him to flatten it. When I wanted him to lick horizontally or vertically. He knew when I wanted him to increase his speed and pressure. When I needed two fingers or just one.
"You like that roughness, don't you?"
he asked as I squeezed my legs together to get more of his whiskers on the inside of my thighs. He didn't push them apart. Instead, he made sure to brush his beard even harder against my skin. "Yes," I moaned. "Don't stop." It didn't hurt at all. It felt every bit like Derek, his rawness, his raggedness. And with the flannel around my wrists, I felt right at home, right where I was supposed to be. I looked down through the V between my legs and saw the top of his head. His hair was messy from sleep, his dark locks so taunting. And when he glanced up at me, the most enticing blue eyes met mine. I yanked my hands against the soft cuffs and felt my legs spread. I was no longer in control. His tongue now owned my movements. It caused sounds to come from my lips, sensations to swirl within my body.
Fight it.
My eyes had closed, but I opened them, meeting his stare once again. His were even darker now, animalistic. Seeing that look, that hunger, made it all the more difficult to fight.
I don't think I can. Then I'm going to have to punish you.
I moaned so loud my head tilted and fell back against the pillow.
What would your punishment be like?
He moved up the bed. When he reached me, he took some of my wetness and rubbed it over his dick.
It looks like this.
It was beautiful, so long and thick, the crown a wide bulge that glistened from me and whatever pre-cum had mixed in.
It moves like this.
He pumped his dick several times with his hand before he placed the tip at the base of my hole.
And it feels like this.
He shoved himself halfway inside me before I cried out. Not from pain, but from the fullness, from the way my body fit him so perfectly.
I want more of your beautiful punishment. That spicy fucking mouth.
He lifted my legs off the bed and wrapped them around his waist, so most of my body was suspended in the air.
Frankie.
He paused, burying himself completely inside me, pleasure spreading across his face.
You feel so fucking good.
I loved how his eyes darkened, how his lips turned ravenous, how his muscles became more defined when he thrust into me. He hadn't tied me up in a while, or prevented me from touching him, so I'd forgotten what it felt like to be restricted, to not be able to use my hands to ask for a release. It heightened my arousal, which was the only reason I didn't beg him to untie me.
You want it harder?
His hips swiveled as he held mine in the air, his large cock circling inside me.
Yes!
Each thrust pounded into me now, and I screamed every time he pulled out. I wanted him deeper, though I knew it wasn't possible.
Faster, baby.
Yes, I repeated. I'd already been so close to coming with his tongue that it was almost impossible to fight off what was happening now.
Derek.
He knew that sound, that word, that tone. And his eyes told me he was as close to having an orgasm as I was. He pulled at the knot that bound my wrists, and they fell out of the flannel. Then he sat me upright, so I straddled his waist. My hands held the back of his neck, and he drove into me while I pushed down on him. We were moving in sync, moaning together and coming together. Even after I stopped quivering, I remained on top of him, running my fingers through his beard. All these months later, I still couldn't get enough of it. His eyes roamed my body before he settled on my face.
Inside of you is the best goddamn place I've ever been, Frankie. But when I told you I haven't gotten everything I wanted, that wasn't what I was talking about.
No? I thought I had read him so well, especially the way he had stared at my nipples, his eyes flicking across them like they were his tongue.
What then?
He pulled my left hand off his face and wrapped his fingers around my wrist. Then he moved up over my thumb, felt along each knuckle, until he reached my ring finger. He looped two of his fingers together to form a circle, and slid them down until they rested at the base of mine. Then he slowly looked up at me.
There's something else I want. Something I need to ask you.
Epilogue. Derek. I stared at Frankie's face from across the table. I'd made the black walnut dining room set far too fucking big. I'd wanted it to only fit 8. Frankie had insisted it fit 12. She had won. This was the first time we'd used the table, but there were only 7 of us seated around it, and when I'd told her I wanted her next to me, she insisted on sitting at the other side. She wanted tonight to be perfect and balanced, and thought one of us at each end would ensure that. We didn't need balance or perfection. The way everyone was smiling tonight, I knew they were having an amazing time. Everyone who mattered was here. Our two best friends, Bree and Will, were seated across from each other. My mom and Hayden were on either side of them, and Frankie's father was next to my sister. And there was an empty chair that she wouldn't let me move from the table. We all knew who it was for. It killed me that I couldn't fill that hole for her, that she had lost not one mother but two. It didn't darken any of our moods, especially after Hayden had told us at the start of the meal that Randy was getting a minimum of 20 years in prison. He'd been found guilty of gross negligence, multiple financial crimes, and 14 counts of manslaughter by an unlawful and dangerous act. That sentence didn't include that he'd hired some fucking scumbag to tamper with my equipment. He'd be sentenced later in the year for that one. It was a huge victory for us. Hayden and I had been catching each other's eyes since she delivered the news. I knew how badly she wanted to ditch this food and skip right to a round of vodka shots, giving me details of what had happened behind the scenes at the trial. We agreed that would happen tomorrow night. Tonight was about celebrating our new home, the one Frankie and I had bought in the Back Bay and remodeled together. "I can't get over this place," Frankie's dad said, passing the platter of lamb to my mother. He looked up to check out the coffered ceilings that I'd built with small accent lights tucked under a valance and the built-in buffet table that I'd combined with full wall shelving and a wet bar. They were additions that had been suggested by Frankie. She loved them so much in our cottage in Napa, she had me recreate them. "I really had my doubts when you two closed on this place. I've seen real estate miracles happen, but never did I expect it to turn out like this. Remarkable, Derek. Truly." The place had really gotten quite a makeover. It was possibly one of the biggest rehabs I'd ever done. I had to really sell Frankie on the unit, convince her that underneath all the wallpaper and warped floors, unnecessary walls, and hideous finishes, was a gem that would become our home. After a few drawings and walking her through each of my plans, she trusted my vision. She helped me choose every furnishing, and we had decorated it together. "Thanks, Garrett, but your daughter did just as much work. She's the real designer here. I'm just her little do-boy." I fucking loved how her face flushed for my comment. My submissive pink ivory had really turned up the heat during renovations. She still let me do whatever I wanted to her body. She was just a little more demanding about it now. And didn't I love it? Like just the night before, I tied her up to the same chair her father was sitting in. I licked her until she came all over the leather seat. Twice. It was a good thing I'd remembered to clean it this morning. "You guys make a good team," Will said. "I'd say this is the best work either of you have ever done." I nodded at him. "Thanks, buddy." "I agree," Hayden said. "And Frankie, your taste in decor is exquisite." Wherever Frankie was able to incorporate wood, she did. It wasn't my influence. She liked it as much as I did, and that meant we got to spend more time in Portsmouth so I could make whatever piece she needed. Portsmouth was now her house as much as it was mine. It had become a place where she could unplug from work, and where I could have her all to myself. And when it got to be Sunday night and it was time for us to head back to the city, she had a hard time leaving it. We both did. "I appreciate the compliment, Hayden," Frankie said. "I've kept Derek under strict deadlines to get the interior finished. Whatever he didn't make, we ordered. I can give you all the catalogs if you want." "Or maybe I could hire you two to give my place a little facelift." "Not a chance," I said, even though that meant the girls could spend more time together. That relationship was going to take a while, but things were definitely improving between them. "Now that we've built it, we need time to enjoy living in it. No more projects. At least not for a while." "Don't get too comfortable, buddy," Will said. "We're about to start phase two of Timber Towers. That means another 200 units and lots more of Frankie's deadlines. And we know how much she loves those deadlines." He laughed as hard as everyone else at the table. "Lots of them," Frankie confirmed. "And much stricter this time." He knows strict, baby. Let's remember who he's dating. In all the time I'd known Julia, as hard as she'd pursued me, but wasn't able to sink her claws in, I'd never pegged her as a dominatrix.